weekdays from 4.
105 Drive with Julian Clover.
Seeing you home.
Time to welcome my guest, Tim Gillett, who is a singer with the band Sugar Beet. I'm trying to enunciate my words a bit more carefully than I should do, because I don't even aware of this, Tim. Our station manager here is called Tim Willett.
I was aware of it.
So we have a Tim Willett and a Tim Gillett to talk about. And the band Sugar Beet, Tim, how long has that been going for?
Well, thanks for reaching out to me. We've been going for about 8 years. Yes, eight years ago we formed.
And how did it all start?
I became aware of a group of dads in the playground that could from the playground. We all met through our wives and children. Became aware that there was these guys out there that could all play instruments of one sort or another. So we got together with the intention of doing a gig, which was at the Portland Arms in Cambridge, for a diabetes charity, which is why we came up with the name Sugar Beet. And as I said, it was intended to be one show, but it was something of a success. A lot of our friends came and said we had to carry on, and we really enjoyed it.
So, what was the school where you all met?
Through Milton Road Junior School. Though, of course, all our kids now are...
I was going to say, the kids have probably moved on and think about setting up bands themselves.
Well, indeed they are. A lot of them are teenagers and at the end of school or in university now.
Yeah. And diabetes, why did you pick that?
Because my sons are all type 1 diabetics.
All of them?
Yes.
How many?
Three.
Oh, goodness me.
At that point, it was only two, but the third one has since been diagnosed.
And is that a kind of a hereditary thing, or is that just bad luck?
It's a bit of bad luck involved as well, yes.
Yeah, I guess possibly is. And what sort of stuff do you play?
We play covers from the late 1950s right through to the present day. We're literally doing on from this year in our show at the Junction. Though we try to avoid the really obvious stuff. So from the outset, we've had a ban on anything by the Beatles, nothing by the Rolling Stones, nothing by U2. A complete ban on anything from the Commitments album.
I kind of understand why.
Various vetoes that have been invoked throughout the last 8 years.
I notice you have done a few by The Killers, and we're going to hear a quick clip of one of those tracks now.
Yeah, thank you.
Now, that was recorded at the Portland Arms. How long ago? Do you know?
That was last year.
Okay.
So about a year ago.
You try to do like one sort of big gig, as it were, during the course of a year?
We do probably three or four public gigs a year. The Portland Arms is a long-term favourite, but we play at the Grapes. We've played at the NCI Club on Victoria Road. And then we do any number of weddings, parties...
Yeah, I guess the covers aspect, particularly a covers band which is going to both span the decades and, when required, do some contemporary material as well, that's something which is going to be sought after, isn't it?
Well, it helps give us a kind of wider audience than we otherwise might have. So, there will be teenagers in the audience, and there will be 60, 70-year-olds as well.
Yeah. So. I'm intrigued as to what happens, because initially, as you say, you start off and you've got friends and relatives coming along to watch you. Does it then, or have you seen it grow so that you're sort of getting civilians in as well?
Civilians, yeah, indeed. The first three gigs were kind of quite strange. The very first one we sold out, and then it actually kind of went down a little bit. But I think that was us trying to do too many gigs in too short a space of time in the same venue. Mm. But certainly going out and doing private functions as well, that expands the audience, because then you get people who who come from that and then come and follow us afterwards. The last gig we played at the Portland Arms was in December, just before Christmas last year, and we sold out the venue a month in advance, which was really, really nice. It's really something that you don't have to worry about.
Alex is nodding in a kind of I was there sort of way.
I was there, right at the front, dancing away.
Yep.
It was brilliant.
And at that point, we thought, well, why don't we have a go at a big proper venue? Not that the Portland Arms isn't a proper venue, so I'd like to apologise. so we phoned up the Junction and we've booked it for ourselves.
And it's not the first time there you've played there,
no,
is it?
No, we played there 7 years ago as well. We'd been going just a year. So we weren't very good then, but we can't wait.
No, so you're looking forward to hopefully a sellout, do you think? Or
it's unlikely. The Junction holds 800 people, so that's unlikely.
Well, but five piece are you or?
Six piece.
Well, yes. it's only sort of 120 or so. 120
each. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, we've had 5,000 flyers delivered, which printed up, which we've all been delivering over the last few weeks as well, and putting out press releases left, right, and centre. So you never know.
Entirely possible.
Yeah.
Now you mentioned you met in the playground. Had many of you been in bands before? Or this is just an opportunity which came your way.
I was in a band at school, which did one gig at the school review, and that was in 1981, I believe. And we played three songs, and that was it. And then I didn't play a guitar for about 25 years.
Not at all.
Until my 40th birthday, and I thought, it's not midlife crisis. I just thought.
What a waste of time not
playing the guitar all over that time. I could have been quite good.
How about the other guys?
The other guys, three of them had been in a band before, several years earlier, but weren't doing anything at that point. So, there was guitars.
Because we find this with some of the young artists who come and play for us on shows like the New Music Generator, that quite often they'll go away to university. A band which has formed in Cambridge will go its separate ways. Yeah. Sometimes they find their way into other bands, but then, of course, work gets in the way, and then, of course, it's families after that. So I wonder how many other similar bands there are around of people who either used to do it or kind of think, well, I wish I had back in the day.
I think there are probably quite a lot. It's a great hobby to have. It's from the outset, we were very clear. I sound like Theresa May. We were very clear that we only wanted to do a certain number of gigs a year. It would be easy for us to do one a week if there would be the demand for us to do that. But we've all got families. We've all got
kids. The wives who helped you get together in the first place possibly wouldn't be quite so keen on the idea.
Kibosh on it.
Yeah,
and we've all got jobs. We said right, no more than one a month. So that's roughly what we do: 10 or 12 a year.
And rehearsal time once a week, or
Monday night, 3 hours. And it's we would all be in the band if we didn't have any gigs, because the rehearsing is just so nice. It's just to go into a room with five of your mates, and all you think about is which fingers you're playing on your guitar and sing, and everything else just goes away, which is great.
I wonder if the difference between yourselves and a younger band, grew up in their late teens
Energy.
Or early 20s. Well, there is. Trust me, I couldn't do it either. But the ambition as well, whereas a younger band might want to do this or that and the other, and maybe because you're older, I don't know, you may say that you want to play Wembley Stadium or something. Do you feel you're more content with your ambition?
I think we are. I mean, we've never written any songs. It's all covers. We're not going to make an album. We do occasionally play gigs outside Cambridge, but we've done a few in London. We did a couple on the South Coast a few years back. But it's generally in Cambridge, and we don't want to make too much effort.
I was just going to ask, are they always for charity or public gigs?
Yes, that's effectively how we work. Public gigs, we will nominate a charity, and we've done a whole range of them, through from the Disasters Emergency Committee for Haiti a few years back, to East Anglia Children's Hospice, or Arbury Library or
real people from the Arbury Library on Saturday at the carnival.
Yeah, of course. But then private gigs, we do charge a fee, but it's not excessive, and that effectively pays for our rehearsal time, so we don't make any money.
That's fair enough. Yeah. And it's a public gig, of course, at the Junction on Friday. Who's your nominated charity this time around?
It's a charity called War Child, which basically go into war zones across the world. They're working primarily in Syria, Iraq, and Libya at the moment. And they go in and rescue children, get them out, rehabilitate them, educate them. It's a superb charity. And the CEO of the charity actually lives in Cambridge as well, so there's a great connection there.
Interesting. I might make a note of that.
Well, we were unaware of that at the start. Yeah. That was a coincidence.
It's interesting how these things sort of come out of the woodwork, as it were. Yeah. Well, I hope you raise lots of money for them and have a good time in a full Junction. So Friday night. What time?
We'll be on about 9:30. The doors open at 7:30, I believe. And our support band, who are called Clinical Waste, who are all consultants from West Suffolk Hospital, which makes it a great name. They will be on about 7:45, I believe.
And tickets, I guess, on the Junction website.
They are available on the Junction website or on the door, indeed.
Excellent. Okay, well, look, Tim Gillett, thank you very much for coming in and joining us.
Thank you very much indeed.
Sugar Beet Junction on Friday night.